As a boy growing up in the 60s, I remember this ugly incident. I remember watching African Americans being blown against buildings, and I asked my mother what that was about, and she, in her best words, tried to explain to me as an 8-year-old boy that they were seeking equal rights. And really what this text deals with today is equal rights or equal access to God. It wasn't a pretty picture for the Jews because they were God's chosen people. Now the Gentiles were coming in, but the reality is that's what Jesus was doing. And we see this very clearly in our text. First of all, he says the gospel is not limited. And he gives us some metaphors, by the way. And from there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know. Again, the pressures of ministry. The pressures of ministry on Jesus. He wanted to get away, but every time he got away, people knew he was there, and so they went to him. Yet he could not be hidden. If we look at the map here just for a minute, we can see Tyre and Sidon right here. So Jesus probably went from Capernaum to this region, maybe stayed in this area, went down to Sidon. So Jesus is right here. Here you can see the Sea of Galilee right here, or Lake of Galilee is what they call it, but I call it the Sea of Galilee. So this is the region in which Jesus is going to. But immediately, and this is in that region in verse 25, but immediately a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit. We've seen that before in the Gospel of Mark. Been a lot of that going on. A lot of it taking shape within the realm of Jesus' ministry and his life. And the Spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. That is, the woman worshipped him. Now, the woman was a Gentile. Big no-no. Big no-no. You remember we talked about the Gentiles being unclean. And last week we learned that the Jews would go back. They would wash everything if they even suspected that they came in contact with a Gentile. Remember, this gospel is not limited. When Jesus hit the ground running, so to speak, this gospel was for everybody, not just the Jews. For the Jews, they'd have to understand this, that God is a God of love, a God of life for everybody. Matter of fact, all of us in this room were created in God's image. Now notice a woman that was a Gentile. This is a big no-no, a Syrophoenician by birth. And she begged him to cast out the demon out of her daughter. And Jesus issues a very interesting statement. Scholars have pondered this, and I think I've got it right this morning. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs." It was a very interesting, by the way, they did have little dogs back then that would sit at the table and they would beg for scraps. There's nothing new under the sun. Little dogs still do that today. This is, how could you turn this little dog away? He's so nice. He's begging for scraps from the table. Why did Jesus say this? If you want to put it in this context, the Jews are the children and the dogs are the Gentiles. So here you have a metaphor. Jesus says it's not time yet for the gospel to go to the Gentiles, even though Jesus had been around Gentiles, he had healed them, he had done a lot of miracles for them. It was not that time, but this woman's faith overrode that. It's excellent. Watch. Now notice, this issue of Jew and Gentile, by the way, I love this picture. Jesus is going to break down the barriers between the Jews and the Gentiles. And matter of fact, if you go to the New Testament and you look at Acts, Romans, and all the way through the epistles, the goal of the New Testament, obviously, is preaching Jesus Christ. But the second mission, the most important mission that you will find over and over and over again, is this issue of reconciling Jews and Gentiles under the umbrella of God. Therefore, you create a new community. This is a cross-cultural gospel. It is not limited, folks. It is not limited to just the frozen chosen or those who go to church. This gospel is open for everybody. It is available for all. No matter how far you are, no matter how far you have drifted from God, no matter where you are in your life, This gospel is for you. You do not clean up to come to the cross. And I've heard that before as a pastor, that you somehow clean yourself up enough and then you'll start going to church. That's nothing. Listen, you go to the cross, Jesus cleans you up, and then you are fit for the kingdom of God. Now notice here, Jesus is doing something, and he said it himself. We're not throwing it to the dogs yet, but this woman, this great woman, I call her one of the greatest ones of faith, at least in Mark to this point, the key. Now notice what she says. But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Please, please, Lord. And he said to her, our Lord and Savior, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of life, the giver of salvation, the author of our lives. Look at what he says. For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found the child lying in bed, and the demon had gone. She didn't quit. She didn't quit in her faith. There's an issue here of perseverance of faith. Even though Jesus said the time's not now, she says, please, Lord, even the dogs, all of us Gentiles who are outside that covenant, need your grace, need your love, need your compassion. Please, Lord. I love this little picture. This is my favorite picture. I love this little guy. You see how he just jumps off. I think it takes a lot of faith to do that. By the way, faith is trusting in Christ. I've got several animal pictures today. I love animals. This little guy just reminds me. This little guy just reminds me about what faith is. It's taking a leap of faith. Listen, please understand this. The gospel is not something you can see. The gospel is something that you know by faith, trusting and believing in what Jesus said, not what the world says. This woman was a complete example of what it meant to be by faith. I was a kid growing up in the Space Center, and this was commonplace, by the way. I was right there at Cape Canaveral, Titusville, Florida. It's the same thing. If you go 10 miles to the end of town, you can look out and you can see the VAB, which is the Vertical Assembly Building. You can see it sitting out there. You can see where they did the launches. And as a boy, particularly at night, I would lay in bed. And I don't know if many of you from Florida know about Florida, but we had jalousie windows. They were little slats like this. And when a launch went up, even if I didn't know about it, I knew about it. Because those windows would rattle like this. Now, this is some 20-some miles away, 20 or maybe even 30, depending on where the launch was. You could sense the power and the force of this rocket going off. And my instant response when I saw and I could hear it, and I could see it, I opened my window and looked out, and sure enough, shot was going off. That's some power and some force. By the way, you have to trust in his power. Because it's his power on the cross and the power of the resurrection that gives us the new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things are passed away. What old things? My old life, my old way of doing things, gone, finished, done, nailed to the cross. Now I live in communion with God in a brand new sense. And this woman right here was just an example, a wonderful example of what the key is. The key is not doing. The key is belonging to and believing in the finished work of Jesus Christ. This woman believed not only in Jesus, but she believed in his power. Otherwise, she would have said, do you think you can do you think you can cast the demon out of my daughter? She absolutely knew. At just the command of his voice, the demon would leave. And by the way, it's still true. Not only is this gospel not limited, neither is his compassion. Notice, that's not verses 6 and 8. That's verses 31 to 32. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon of the Sea of Galilee into the region of Decapolis. We've seen that before. Remember the tombs of Decapolis. And they brought a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. Now that kind of goes hand in hand. Because if you're deaf, your speech isn't going to be all that well either. So this kind of goes hand in hand. And they, the Bible doesn't say who they are, but I'm assuming it was family members and friends that were deeply concerned with this person's well-being. And they begged. They didn't ask. Another issue of faith here. And we're talking about needs. They begged him to lay his hands on him. Think all of us at some time in this life we're sick. Where do we go? Men, you better get better at this. You, when you're sick, you need to go to a doctor. Please. Men are the worst offenders of this. Your wives need you to go to the doctor. That's your pastoral point for the day. When you're sick, you go see a doctor. These people knew, and I think this was a wrong perception of Jesus. I'll get into that in just a minute. But these people knew that Jesus would see them. And by the way, when you're going to Jesus, remember, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. These men, or these people, took this deaf, mute man, so to speak, to Jesus because they had great needs. Listen, I don't know what your needs are in this congregation, and I know we have some that need physical healings, and I know we have some that probably need spiritual healings. Some of you are carrying burdens in your heart. Let me just tell you, quite honestly, as your pastor, that you need to be going to God first, laying those at the feet of Jesus before you go to somebody else. He cares. Do you understand? Do you understand how much Jesus cares for you? That right there is a constant reminder of how much Jesus cares for you. He went to the cross for you. He cares about you. If you're a child of God or if you're not a child of God, Jesus cares about you because you were created in his image. And also, if you're a child of God, how much more does Jesus care for you because you're his child? I want to encourage you as your pastor, learn from these people that brought this man. Now look, it doesn't mean that when you go to Jesus, I don't understand this, if I was God, everybody gets healed. But I'm not God. Honestly, if I was God, everybody in the world gets healed. It's a good thing I'm not qualified. But I'm going to tell you this. If you go to God for a physical healing and you don't get it, there has to be a reason. Because God doesn't do things haphazardly. God has a plan, and he will use that ultimately for his glory. Now, sometimes God chooses to heal. Why he does, I simply don't know, and I'm not going to try to invent something. I simply don't know. But I do know this, that God cares for you. And if he does not heal you physically, it doesn't mean that God has abandoned you or moved away from you or wants nothing to do with you. It doesn't mean that at all. It could possibly mean, and let me give you one possible translation, it could mean that God is going to use that illness or that sickness to bring glory to himself and others to saving faith in Christ. So then we have to develop a different attitude towards physical sickness. Spiritual sickness, God will heal in a minute. If you go to him and say, Father, I've sinned, it's done. It'll be done with. Other things, burdens on your hearts, please take it to Jesus. He can handle it better than anybody. Take it to Jesus. Now notice the needs, and I drew that on your outline there. You have the arrows right here. I want you to look at it. They had their needs. They took it to Jesus. Now look at his heart. There's an interesting word here. As I read it casually the first time, I go, oh, he's irritated, but not really. Listen to this. Okay, now this man that Jesus, that they brought to Jesus for healing because he was deaf and couldn't speak well. Now we're going to see Jesus' real heart. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, Jesus didn't want it to get out that he was a miracle worker. Watch. He put his fingers in his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. Actually, the word touched can refer to, if a person can't hear, The only way that you can make contact with them and show concern is by touching the person. And particularly in that day, at least stories abounded that if a person spit on the ground, touched the person, put him in his ear, that he would be healed. So Jesus was within the context of that. And by the way, not all those healings actually occurred. But Jesus used it. Now notice this. And looking up to heaven, uh-oh, that's something that's different. We've seen it before. Do you remember when Jesus looked up to heaven before? What was he signifying? I and the Father are one. Normally you pray down or in the prayer closet with your shawl over you. You would pray in the prayer closet privately. Now Jesus looks up to heaven. Jesus knows the source of his power, plus his unity with God. Now here's one that gets away from people. He sighed. You think, casual reading, when I read through it the first time, he sighed. He's irritated. Nothing could be further from the truth. Actually, the Greek word here is stenazo, and that's the word for sighed. If you look at the Greek lexicon understanding of it, or the translation, to groan or sigh as a result of deep concern or compassion. Jesus didn't do this because he was irritated. Jesus did this because he saw fallen humanity that was created in the image of God that was hurting, and he had compassion and he felt concern for this person. By the way, wherever you are in the scope of life, wherever you are in the walk of life, right now God is concerned and has compassion for you. He understands. And God is unlike all of us. He is very slow to get irritated. It takes him quite a while. This week, and this is a one person, two people out of Jesus' life. This week, yeah, I knew ladies would, ladies and kids, I knew I'd get on this one. Do you know this is the picture of the child of God in the Bible? It is, isn't it? Evan, we got to fix that. I keep hitting it all the time. That's good. That's paste it. Yeah, that's good. I was driving to school this week. This is no joke. It was Tuesday. I was driving to school, and I kept thinking about this little picture here. And I said, God, I need something. You need to give me an illustration or something. So I'm driving to school, and I'm almost to Lincoln. And I noticed on my right, I get the, it really is a nice drive. I mean, particularly on 10, you go up and there's all these animals usually on the right. There's some on the left, but there's cows and then there's other animals. And then I crossed a little baby sheep that had been separated from the pen. Had 10 minutes to get to school. And it was a little guy like this. Maybe even a little bit smaller. And it was out by the edge of the road. And I felt sorry for that little sheep. But I was doing 55 miles an hour. It was wet. So I'm going to tell you what your pastor did. I prayed for the sheep. And then God spoke to me about something. He said, as I got just a little bit further, he said, do you remember that sheep that you just saw and felt such compassion for? He said, that's how I feel for you. So when Jesus looks at this man, his heart is bent towards him, not away from him. And let me tell you, with all of my heart this morning, God's heart is bent towards you. But you have to go to God. You have to take your needs, your frustrations, your life, your hardships, your trials, your misunderstandings, your all those things. You got to take them to Jesus, and Jesus will then take them and take care of them for you. I don't know how he'll take care of them, but he will. Jesus took care of this man. Notice, he said to him, Ephphatha, which that is translated, by the way, I think it's Aramaic, which means his ears were opened, and his ears were opened, His tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. The gospel is not limited, neither is his compassion, because he is the Savior. It's a very few, just a couple little verses left. And Jesus charged them, notice in verse 36, and Jesus charged them to tell no one. As is the case, the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. I think Jesus did not want them to go out and tell people, and I think he meant that. By the way, Jesus is more than a healer. Jesus is more than a physical healer. Do you know that Jesus is the Son of God? For God so loved the world that he gave his son here on the cross, 9-inch nails in his hands, in his feet, driven in. That's the picture Jesus wanted them to get. Not just a physical healer. Not just somebody that could do miracles and heal the blind and make the lame walk and the dead rise. He didn't want to be known for that. This is what Jesus was ultimately driving for. It was towards the cross so that he would pay for our sins. And Jesus said, please be quiet. Don't tell people. I don't want this to get out that I am just a physical healer. There's many people that think that that's really what Jesus says. There are a lot of different views. Notice their response. Verse 37. And they were astonished. This is an interesting study sometimes. If you want to go back, I'm just going to highlight it for a minute. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. Actually, if you go back to the book of Genesis, where God looked over creation, he saw that it was good. This good and well is the same word. Very interesting. Fascinating that he would go back and use that God saw creation and he saw it was good. He does all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. By the way, watch the clip.
Ray, honey, Mom and everybody's leaving now.
Okay. Well, it was, thanks for coming.
Ray, think about what I said. You know, I'm just trying to help.
I know.
So I thought you two were going to watch some game.
Guess it's not really a game. It's more like a practice.
Rusty!
See, there's only 8 of them, so they can't play a real game.
8 of what?
Them.
Who them?
Them. Well, you don't see them?
Karen, honey? What are you watching?
The baseball man.
Baseball? Do you see the baseball man right now?
Of course I do.
But you really don't see him?
I don't think it's very polite to try to make other people feel stupid.
Mom, wait a minute. Mom, wait a minute. Dee, wait. You don't see these people? It's not funny, Annie. They couldn't see it.
This is really interesting.
Yeah. Pretty funny movie. The spiritual point to be made there would be this, that there's some people that can look right at Jesus and not see him. There are some people that can look at Jesus Christ, know the gospel story, and can reject it. these, and matter of fact, if you go back a couple of weeks ago, do you remember the disciples after Jesus walked on the Sea of Galilee towards them, was passing them about the fourth watch of the night? Do you remember that the disciples saw Jesus but really didn't see Jesus? Matter of fact, the disciples at this point don't have Jesus nailed down. They're still trying to figure it out. They can look at him, know he's done all these great things. I think they were looking for a political leader. Matter of fact, you see the Jesus that you want to see. But it doesn't change the reality that Jesus is the Son of God. It doesn't change the fact that Jesus is still calling people to the cross, whether you can see it or not. Let me give you some advice. You need to start looking at Jesus as the Savior, because there's someday you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account of why you rejected Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's a big deal. These people here, I don't think they understood it. He did all things well. Notice the last statement. Not that he's the Son of God, but he makes even the deaf hear and the mute speak. Let me say this, and then I'm going to close because I'm hungry. Let me say this. There are people that sit in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. They hear the gospel message, and they can willingly get up and leave out of church without ever having been confronted with the cross, or having been confronted with the cross. By the way, I put the gospel in every sermon. Somewhere, I'm fitting it. Even if it's a round peg in a square hole, I'm fitting it. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You know, we all go out of here today. In about 5 minutes, we're going to go out of here today. You do not know what is going to transpire by 2 o'clock. But I can tell you this, that if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, it doesn't matter what transpires at 2 o'clock. Because when you breathe your last breath in this life, you're going to breathe your first breath in the kingdom of God. That is the hope that we have. That is the assurance that we have. But if you can walk out of here and you can hear the gospel, I'm going to share the gospel with you one time real quick again. This is the gospel. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe he rose from the dead. You believe he paid for your sin in full. And you believe that he reigns at the right hand of the Father. And you trust in that, you're going to heaven. That's it. It's not about going to church. It's not about Sunday school. It's not about all those things. It is about having Jesus Christ in your heart. Let me encourage you. If you do not have Jesus Christ in your heart today, please beat a path up to this altar. You may have been in the church for years. Please get rid of your churchianity. You need Christianity. And Christianity begins at the foot of the cross. And I tell you what, I never dreamed. Talk about a field of dreams. I never dreamed in 100 years when I trusted in Jesus Christ that I would be standing before people preaching the gospel. Because of all the candidates that God could have picked, he picked the least. Let me tell you. Why he did that, I don't know. But I remember the dream, and I remember the death, and I remember all that stuff. And I remember that was the mission God gave me, and I said I was going to fulfill it, and I'm doing it. Not by myself, with his help. But I'm going to tell you this. It has been an interesting run. It's been interesting. When you trust in Jesus Christ, your life begins again at that moment, and then he walks with you. I wouldn't trade that for all the riches in the world. This gospel, by the way, is for everybody. This gospel crosses all social realms. This gospel is for the person who is rich. This gospel is for the person who is poor. This gospel is for everybody. There are no barriers. You have to trust in Christ. Please. Please. If you even have a doubt If there's even an inkling that you have never trusted in Jesus Christ, you need to do it today. I know everybody in this room that's born again will rejoice with you if you did that. It's not, I knew there was something wrong with him or her. I knew there was something going on there. No, you need to knock it off. This person, whoever would come forward this morning, is making an eternal decision which will affect their eternity. And we should rejoice. I think too many people don't want to come to the altar because what will John think? What will Bill think? Ultimately, I don't care what they think. I care what God thinks. You make that decision.